Very good. Turn, if you would, in your Bibles to the book of Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Enjoy the ladies singing. Enjoy the music all day today. It's been very good. Enjoy being around God-honoring, Christ-honoring music. Ephesians chapter 6. We've been studying the book of Ephesians now for a couple of years, and we're moving right along. Ephesians chapter 6. And we'll cover hopefully 8 verses tonight or 9 verses. And just again, our first 3 chapters of the book of Ephesians dealing with our wealth in Christ. And again, Paul pointing out all the tools that we received when we accepted Christ as our Savior. I'll just remind you tonight that every tool you need to live the Christian life has been given to you at the moment of salvation. The Holy Spirit abides in you and is there to comfort, to help you, to instruct you, to lead you. And again, it's our reliance upon Him that enables us to live the Christian life. We should, again, rely upon the tools that He has given us. And we have all the wealth that we'll ever need. We have all the tools we'll ever need to live the Christian life. So that's the first 3 chapters deal with what we do have. And then the last 3 chapters, chapters 4 through 6, deal with our walk in Christ. So live that out. Practice what's been taught to you and with the tools that have been given to you. And again, Paul always deals generally in his books, deals with the doctrinal aspects and then the practical. The instruction and to follow after the devotional and the absolute tools and things that we need have been given to us, and now we should walk in them. We talked about, he said, walk in love, walk in the light, and so forth. So tonight you're going to see some very practical things. And one subject I like to really always seem to address about every other Sunday is children and raising children. We'll see that here tonight. So Paul's just giving some practical instruction in the Christian life. Let's read. Ephesians 6, verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on the earth. And, ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling and singleness of your heart as unto Christ, not with eye service as man-pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatsoever good things any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bound or free. Verse 9, and you masters, do the same things unto them, forbearing, threatening, knowing that your master, capital M, also in heaven, neither is there respect of persons with him. Let's pray. Lord, as we look at these practical teachings tonight that you give us in your word, we pray, Lord, you'd help us to apply them to our lives. Lord, give us leadership and guidance with our families as well as with our jobs. We ask this in your name. Amen. Paul closes the book of Ephesians with some carefully chosen words of instruction to two of the most important areas of the believer's life, the home, and he's going to deal with Christian warfare and how that we are in a battle. And we'll cover that next Sunday night, Lord willing. But he deals here with the Christian home and also with our relationship with our workers and co-workers and so forth. So first off, we see here the domestic life of the believer. Paul deals with 3 areas of domestic life. First, with the family. With the family. Paul instructions to children. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. May I tell you tonight that we are all born rebels. We are all born selfish by nature. Absolutely. Again, you don't have to teach a child how to be selfish. They are born that way. You have to instruct the other way. You have to instruct them, share with your brother, share with your sister. You know, and so we are all born rebels. Children who defy their parents will go on to defy other authority and often defy divine authority. Okay, listen tonight. I've preached this many times, but we'll go over it again. As a father and mother, you represent authority to your child. By the way, grandparents as well. You illustrate for them, you are defining for them authority in their life.
a child that is allowed to buck that authority will not only buck that authority at home, but will buck that authority at school, will buck that authority at the grandparents' house, and then usually will go on to defy divine authority. Divine authority. Amen? Again, you are that representative. If I would tonight, and the Bible makes this clear, as the husband, as the dad, you illustrate for that child what God, the authority that God has. You illustrate that for them. We must be careful that we discipline our children, that we discipline them properly in order that we might be a good example of authority in their life. Again, it's a great privilege to raise children. It's a wonderful privilege. The Bible says, lo, they are an heritage of the Lord. Happy is the man who has his quiver full. Well, I got 5. My brother has 9. Yeah, he's really happy. I'm waiting for that call in any moment for the number 10. And again, he's a pastor. That's no divorce there. That's one woman, one man, 9 kids. And you don't hear a whole lot of that today. But it's absolutely biblical in the area that children are a heritage of the Lord. Again, children weren't meant to be endured. They were meant to be enjoyed. Y'all know this because, I mean, we're living here. My oldest now is 15. I have 2 15-year-olds in the home. And when I was a kid, the greatest moments, the greatest times I remember as a kid were with my dad when I was a teenager. And I hear parents all the time say, well, just wait till your kids get to be teenagers. No, I'm excited about it. Man, now I can hit Caleb and Brennan a little harder on the shoulder. And at some point, I'm going to hit them as hard as I can. Hello, Internet. By that, I mean playing. You know, we play. We're playing. We're wrestling. We're having fun. We're fishing together. We're going to football games, touch our flag and tackle. I mean, we're doing all these things. I mean, we're having a good time. It's enjoyable. My oldest is fixing to drive. Brother Treadwell stole his truck. we got him a truck here a while back, and he paid for half. One of the things when our kids were very small, I instructed them, said, listen, Daddy is not going to buy everything. Not going to do it. And you can deal with your kids financially however you want to, but my kids are going to pay half. My boys are going to learn to work. And if you want a truck, you're going to have to pay half of it. You want insurance for that truck, you have to pay half of it. If you want to go to college, you're going to pay half of it. You don't have to say amen. You may disagree with me, and that's fine, but I want my kids to learn to work. And so we're enjoying it. I'm enjoying it. Again, Brother Treble is driving his truck, and Brother Caleb's a little upset. Yeah, see? He shook his head yes, Brother Treadwell. But it should be enjoyable. Again, marriage was meant to be enjoyed. Kids were meant to be enjoyed. If you're not enjoying it, then something's out of whack. And I would put it back on you as the adult that you've allowed something to get out of whack, that you're not following the biblical plan. And so, again, children are meant to be instructed. It's parents of opportunity and wonderment and great authority and great opportunity to raise children, to have the privilege of raising them. But they must be taught to obey. We are all born rebels. The word obey means submitting one's will to the will of another. You've heard this illustration, I know, before, but you talk about when they go to break a horse. And the ideal is when you break a horse is to break their will without breaking their spirit. It's the same thing with a kid. You want to break their will without breaking their spirit. And so you want to teach them to obey. We teach most of the time, and I'm a little soft sometimes, we teach our kids many times to disobey. For instance, you tell them to do something, they don't do it. You say, now if I tell you one more time, about that third or fourth time, you know, we teach them sometimes to disobey. We've got to be careful, especially in those early years. Basically, a child's, personality, all those things are established in the first 6 years. That obedience, really. Especially with my kids. Now, one of them's gone a little further past that. But usually between that ages of 1 to 8 or 9 years old, that obedience is set in those first years. Train up a child in the way they should go. Everybody with me? And we need to teach obedience. Teach obedience. Again, Paul says here to children, I'm going to speak to the youth again tonight, obey your parents. in the Lord, for this is right. It's the right thing to do. He said, well, my parents shouldn't be obeyed. Every parent should be obeyed. Hello? If you're not looking at him, it's not time to pray. Obey your parents. How often? Every time. Don't give them flack. Don't talk back. Obey the first time. Amen? Everybody, nobody else say amen. Does the Bible say to obey your parents? Should you obey them the first time? Say amen.
Amen.
Good job. Obey your parents. This is Paul's specific instruction to children, to kids. Other kids in here, you need to obey your parents. Right, Micah? Obey your parents. Good job. Obey your parents. It's a divine command. By the way, when it says children obey your parents, it means whoever's in authority over you. Maybe a situation where you're living with a grandparent or an uncle or an aunt. We have that situation in our home. Obey your parents. Obey them. Honor your parents. Honor thy father and mother. By the way, this doesn't end when you turn 18. Amen? Obey your parents. Honor them. I believe you honor them until they go pass from this life to the next. Honor them. Honor them. The Bible says that this was the first commandment with promise. If you go to Exodus chapter 20, you'll see that. The promise is, verse 3 tells you, that it may be well with thee and thou mayest live long on the earth. Kids, you want to live long, Eli? Want to live long? Obey your parents. That's what it promises. Amen? That's good stuff. And it's just practical, good stuff. And then it says, and you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. I wrote two words down just in my Bible so I wouldn't forget. It says, but bring them up in the nurture. That means disciplines, and admonition means instructions. So, but bring them up in the disciplines and instructions of the Lord. Bring them up in the disciplines and instructions of the Lord. Fathers, we should not provoke our children to wrath. Fathers, the head of the house is to refrain from those things that deliberately cause children to rebel. The father is to bring up children to fear God and follow divine instruction. Again, many times there's not harmony in the home because of the lack of discipline in the home. The harmony is broken because of lack of discipline and allowing a child to be disobedient. I haven't done this in a while, so let's go over to Proverbs real quick. Again, when we say discipline, before I get to that, let's turn over to Proverbs, look at chapter 22. Let's real quick again describe what it means to provoke your children to wrath. Okay? This is old school. Come here, Micah. Put your stuff down. Come here. Stand up in that chair so somebody can see you. This is my youngest boy. Man, 9 years old, right? Right? Okay, so if I'm going to provoke him to wrath, then, and I'm not perfect, no way. And there are times in which I'm not patient with my children. Hello, children over there. Then the pastor's kids get the brunt of all this, don't they? Don't they? It's terrible, isn't it? My dad did the same thing to me growing up. And so, if I instruct him to do something, I expect him to do it, right? Right? So what's on your chore list? What are you supposed to be doing? What did you have to do yesterday?
To my room, my bathroom, to my clothes in the laundry room, and put my dirty clothes in the dirty clothes hamper.
Okay, so there was some chores that had to be done, and they have a list. They're at that age where they have a list every day. Now, right now we're giving them allowance. Someday, you know, you can do that or not do that. My dad did it for 2 or 3 years and then did away with it. And right now we're in the allowance stage. But that's going to go away pretty quick. They don't, you know, they do things because they live in our house. If they want to live in our house, amen. All right? If I'm going to provoke this child to wrath, there's several things. And you could come up with your own list. One of the things is that I live a double life. I think that's the number one thing on my list would be that I'm a hypocrite. If I'm at home, I'm different from what I am at church, and I'm a hypocrite, then my kids will rebel against me. I see that over and over and over again. A parent will come to me and say, "Preacher, I don't understand why the discipline's not working with my child." And I find out that they're living a double life at the house, that they watch anything they want to watch. They cuss and they do everything else just like the world. I said, "How can you go to church, expect to discipline your children, and yet you're living like the world at home? They don't respect you. You're living a double life, right?" Amen. Another thing you can do is you can belittle your kids. And this is an area all of us could work on. And that is to demean them in your verbiage. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me is a lie. It's a lie. Words do hurt. And they hurt worse. I am telling you right now, I can remember words that were spoken to me as a child, but I can't remember half the spankings I got. I can remember things that my parents said to me, and they weren't trying. They just, you know, they slipped out. I can remember those a lot worse. So we try to, when we're instructing our kids, and to be patient with them and not be slanderous against them. You know, they have minds too, right? They're just little people, right? Even at 9 years old, this little boy has an opinion, right? Even at 9 years old, he has things he doesn't like. What's your favorite meat in the world?
I don't know.
Favorite meat. What do you like to eat the most? Meat. Go ahead and say it.
I like to eat meat.
What kind of meat do you eat?
I don't know.
It's chicken. Okay? Sorry, Brother Mosley. It's chicken. You know what? From the very early child, all that kid would eat was chicken. You know, try to feed him hamburger. I want chicken. Some of your kids were the same way. Go through the drive-thru, I want chicken strips. You know, go at home, you have to put the hamburger in front of them, and never mind. Chicken, right? Spaghetti was chicken, hamburgers were chicken, yeah. And so he has an opinion, he has tastes, he has his own personality, absolutely, right? And I'm not going to embarrass him in that way, but because there's some things we could talk about, right? But he has all of his own. I mean, you've got to remember, they're impressionable. Amen? All right, step down. Very impressionable. So we got to be careful not to provoke them to wrath, not to cause them to defy your authority. On purpose, you do things that would cause them to defy your authority. When a parent yells and screams at their kids, you are helping in that. Let me just sidestep that and say, just because your parent may yell at you doesn't give you the right to disobey them. Hello? Say amen. Just because your parent may not do exactly, some of you here tonight, you know, your parent may want to do what, but you're going to obey them anyway, right? Hello? Because Paul says, obey your parents. Amen? If you look at some of these verses, I mentioned about, again, discipline, godly, biblical discipline. Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 6 says, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it." You need to start from when they're very young, training them and teaching them in godly things, parenting them. Look at verse 15 of the same chapter. "Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. I could read on and on and on. There's about 6 verses in the book of Proverbs that instruct us as parents to discipline our children by using a rod. By using a rod. Look at Proverbs chapter 29. Chapter 29, verse 15. "The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother shame." The rod of reproof give wisdom. Rod and reproof give wisdom. But a child left himself shall bring shame. I just encourage you tonight, use your Bible as your guide for disciplining your children. My dad practiced corporal punishment. He spanked us growing up. I am the better for it. I am absolutely better for it. Absolutely. He spanked us properly. He spanked us right. He never beat us. He never slapped us across the face, hit us in any other place but the place that God made to be whipped on. He took the Board of Education and applied it to the seat of understanding. He did it lovingly. He did it kindly. He instructed us as to what we did wrong. He spanked us. And then he had us repeat to him why we got a spanking. It was very clear why. And then he made us hug him and tell him that we love him. That every time is how he did it. Thank the Lord. I can remember only on a couple of occasions where my dad, I believe, lost his temper and whooped me in anger. Otherwise, right down the line. By the way, that's going to happen. We're not perfect. Amen? Right. And I remember on one of those occasions, Dad came and apologized to me. One of them was my brother's fault. We won't go into that one. You know, Dad walks in. I will actually tell you the story. Dad walks into the back bathroom at the house, smells smoke, and says, "Who lit a match back here?" My brother says, "He did." I did not. And my dad takes me into the room and wears me out. I mean, wears me out. I keep screaming the whole time, "Dad, I didn't do it. Dad, I didn't do it." And it wasn't until me and my brother became adults that my brother finally confessed. I think Dad should bend him over and whip him anyway. Right? So sometimes we make mistakes. You know what Dad just said to me when he found out? He said, "You know what? That whipping was just for all the other things that I didn't find out about." And there was plenty that he didn't find out about that I deserved a spanking for. So, but spankings do work. You read James Dobson, some of the others. James Dobson isn't against corporal punishment. He just doesn't put it in the forefront, whereas the Bible does. And I'm telling you, spanking them properly works a lot better than timeouts. Put them in the corner, all these other things, if you will do it properly, lovingly. Again, spankings, disciplining your kids does not work if you're not spending time with them, developing a relationship with them. And then when you do that fly, why is it always me? It's not always me? But spending the time and influencing your kids, again, it says rod. What does it say? Rod and wisdom. It's both instructing them. Again, a kid has an opinion. They have feelings. They need to be instructed verbally and then corrected properly with the rod of correction. And we should do that loving and patiently and kindly. Never out of anger. If you spank your child in anger, if you spank them while you're mad, then you've done nothing but just bully them around. But if you take and spank them while you're patient and kind and loving, you will instruct them and telling them and instructing them. Amen? Help me out. All right? So I know there's some young couples here tonight. All I would ask of you guys who have been there already and you're now grandparents is back your kids up. By that I mean, don't be one of those grandparents who sees the parent whipping the child and says, "Don't you whip little Johnny." When you see your child whipping your grandkids, say, "Go get him, brother. Go get him." Be that help. And I know grandparents, I got away with tons of stuff with my papa and grandma. And absolutely, grandparents are built that way. And I'm not saying you can't spoil your kids, grandkids a little and do all those things. But when it comes down, you know it. When that child is being rebellious and that parent needs to take the opportunity to instruct that child, back that parent up. Amen? Amen. Amen. So we can all have a part in that. Again, these verses provide an excellent opportunity, again, to just remind us of the importance of parenting our kids, of grandparents being involved, and every aspect of raising children. And then the church has a part in it as well, of influencing and being a part of a child's life. And let's do it the Bible way instead of the psychologist's way. Amen. Don't forget that children of today are parents of tomorrow. Isn't it amazing, and most of you guys know it better than me, but isn't it amazing how time flies? Again, I have a child fixing to drive. for those of you not from Texas, I have a child who's about to drive. And time has just flown. All of a sudden, I have kids that are 15. And soon, they will be the parents of tomorrow. Well, let's remember that. And then we see in the next verses where Paul instructs Christians in regards to servant and master. Of course, in our day and age, that would be employer and employee relationships. It says there, verse 5 says, "Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, and singleness of your heart, as unto Christ." Again, the servant is to obey his employer. The servant, the employer, employee is to obey his employer with singleness of heart, wholehearted dedication to the task at hand. Singleness of mind. In other words, when you go to work, you're to work for that employer. You're to do it with singleness of mind. You're to do it with everything you have dedicated to the task as if you were doing it for the Lord. Not with eye service, as men pleasers. We're obedient. We should be obedient as employers, employees. We should be loyal as employees. We should not be lazy. I've told this before, but my dad has used very, very few sick days in the last 35 years. Of course, he's always been healthy. But just being an honest employee, being a worker, I was told here a while back, and man, we could spend some time. Here's the typical thing. We look at a road construction crew. You see five guys standing around and one guy shoveling. Don't mean to pick on that, but that's the example of how we need to be careful as Christians, that when we are working, that we work. Right? It's terrible that in America there are some jobs that you do that you have to stick to your one job, and if you're finished with your job, you can't help somebody else. Isn't that amazing? It just drives me crazy. You know, boy, because somebody else wants to keep their job. Okay. We are not to be, we are to do our best, and not only when we're being watched, but all the time. I want to look at verse 6. "Not with eye service as man pleases, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart." We are to obey and work, not only when we're being watched, but when we're not being watched, and we're, again, to do it as unto the Lord, because we're all a part of the ministry. Verse 7 says, with good will, doing service as unto the Lord and not to man. By that I mean, we are all ministers. We are all, whatever job you have, you're to minister at that job. For instance, do you believe Joseph's life had an impact on the employees of Potiphar, his servants, the way he served, did it affect those around him? Amen. You think when Joseph became head over the jail that it affected even the inmates there? Absolutely. He was a minister there. So every job you have, whatever job that may be, if you'll do that job as unto the Lord, as if you were working that job for the Lord, then you will influence, you will minister to those around you. Why do we even have jobs? We have jobs, number one, to provide for our families. And number two, to minister to others. I am telling you guys, every job can be that way. You say, "Preacher, I had the most boring job. I hate my job." If you will just look at your job as a service for the Lord, it'll sure help. Amen? And then taking opportunities. Someone approached me the other day about an employee that they had got a chance to witness to and talk to. Man, that's great. If you could witness to a coworker, minister, make your job and allow your job to be a ministry. The Bible says there's a reward, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. Whatever you do for others, God's going to do for you. Isn't that good? I don't know about you, but that's special there. That as I do for others, as I minister to others around me and at my job and my co-workers, which is a small group here, that God will do the same for me. That He will provide and do for me. Lastly, verse 9, "And ye masters, do the same things unto them, forbearing, threatening, knowing that your master also in heaven neither is there respect of persons with him. So he advises, he instructs those who are the employer to be kind to their employees. As they are instructing them, as they are motivating them, that they motivate them in love and not in fear. You can get a lot more done by developing relationships than you can with a whip. Every once in a while you got to rise up and say, hey, this is the way it's going to be. But man, developing relationships, moving a company forward, moving your employees forward, and do so in love and gracious and being kind about it. Amen? As an employer. Paul gives some practical instructions. Children, obey your parents. Just obey your parents. Parents, remember your kids got brains. And that rules without reasons produce rebellion. Say that again. Rules without reasons produces rebellion. When you give a command to your child, at some point you need to tell them why. Allow them to ask why at some point. Now, there's times when you tell a child to do something, they'll do it right then. But then if you tell them they can't go somewhere or they can't do this or that, then explain to them why they can't go there, why they can't do this, why they can't do that. Instruct them as to your reasons. Again, they have a brain. Amen? Be wise in that area. Don't provoke your child to wrath. Practice what you preach. Be good employees. Let's go out this week and just work as unto the Lord. Be a good minister of His in the workplace. And those of you who may employ others or have people under you, remember their people. Be kind and gracious as you can. Amen? Because if you'll be kind to them, God will be kind to you. Let's all stand.